This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Fans are on the edge of their seat. It's building. It's building. It's electric at the moment.
Yes, yes, yes,
yes, yes, yes.
Here's the siren. Arms in the air. That has gone through. What are we seeing? Just incredible.
Bunch of boys can't get enough when the girls don't need your love. Cool says boys don't cry.
This is Gay FL.
That's right, it's 9pm Wednesday and you're with Gay FL on Joy 94.9. I'm one of your co-hosts, Chris.
And I'm Brendan with a B, and you were just listening to Talk Therapy to Me, and we had a lovely chat with Maxie and Ash about some workplace burnout. Really important topic.
Yeah, absolutely. If you did miss that one, they will be podcasting that episode, so feel free to tune in on Wellness Wednesday and Talk Therapy to Me. Thanks for having us on, guys. That was actually really great, so we appreciated it. We actually talked a little bit about code switching. We're having to do a bit of code switching ourselves right now. That was a pretty serious, heavy topic.
Yeah, look, we promise anyone listening, we promise we're going to be a little bit lighter on our show.
We will try. We have some heavy stuff too, but you know, we try to keep it light as well as we do here on Gay FL.
We do. And speaking of lightness, I guess, we were just listening to Delta Goodrum, Innocent Eyes. Anyone that listens to us knows we are big Eurovision fans.
I use the word tragics.
Well, it was announced this week that Australia's Delta Goodrum is going to represent Australia in Eurovision 2026.
And you know what was even more shocking than the announcement of Delta being our representative?
I don't know.
Her song's amazing.
Oh my God. It feels like it was a mishmash. I feel like whoever wrote the song, I need to look into it. I don't know. I know it's because Delta's promoting a new album and everything, and that's kind of what this is going to be. But it's almost like this whole song was thrown into a machine to be a Eurovision hit. Like, it's a power ballad. It's boppy. I think it's going to do well.
I'm seeing wind machines.
I'm seeing a white dress. I'm seeing lights. I think it's probably the best performer we're gonna have maybe since Kate Miller-Heidi.
I agree completely, but we're not here to talk about Eurovision, are we?
Ah, boo! No, hey. We're not.
We are here to talk about the football. And Brendan, you would like to remind everyone about our tipping contest.
Yeah, we'll put it back on the socials, but we've had quite a few people register. We're having a bit of a tipping comp for this 2026 Premiership season, so I'll shoot it out on the socials, but please register. No prizes apart from bragging rights, right? It's just going to be a lot of fun and it's all in good humour. And the only people that's going to be made fun of is me and Chris, to be quite honest.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bit fun. It's a bit social. It's just for the lulz and community here at Gay FL. And look, actually, just thank you for mentioning the tipping. I also just want to mention, as we always do, if you want to join in on the conversation, 0427 Joy 949 or text us using the Joy 94.9 app.
Mm-hmm.
But we did say we were going to keep it light. I do have one somber note, if I may. Anyone who has caught the footy news today may have been aware of the passing of Dennis Cometti, the veteran commentator who over five decades in the industry. He and Bruce McAvaney were the voice of football and are synonymous with AFL in this country. They're very much part of the fabric. A lot of people have said a lot of better things than I can, except we just here at Gay FL want to reach out to the Gay FL community and anyone who knew Dennis or you know, enjoyed his football and his commentary. We want to send our love and respect to him and his family. And I think rather than us saying too much more, we should leave the words to the man himself with one of his iconic quotes.
Riebold in the middle, calling for the football. Schneider, will he give it to Riebold? He will. Riebold runs in. Touched up the boots. Oh, my goodness.
Can you believe that?
Wonderful chase by Heath Shaw. He came up behind him like a librarian. He never heard him. Oh, no surprise, everybody else in the library is shouting. He's got the football.
you just can't script television like that. Like no. That, like a librarian, is immortal, that quote. And so I thought that was just a nice way to leave a sad and heavy note on our show before we move on to some other things.
Yeah, rest in power, Dennis.
Yeah, absolutely. And I did say something lighter. We did a follow-up last week of our Where Are They Now with our guests, and we did mention that Courtney and the Central District's Bulldogs from South Australia, the under-18 women's side, played their first game last weekend. We did mention that they were going to. And I am very proud to say, on behalf of the Central District's Bulldogs in South Australia, they scored 67-0 in the rain. Their first ever game.
Oh, my God. What a feeling. They just smashed them. So, congratulations to Courtney and the team. Like, to leave them not only goalless, but pointless. Yeah. That's just, what a first game.
And you might remember, Brendan, from the interview we did with Courtney, we asked who were the biggest rivals of the Bulldogs, and she said the Tigers, which is who they beat.
Oh, my God. What a way to start your season.
That's going to be a confidence building win for the girls. So, congratulations.
Absolutely. Congrats. But
we should probably also talk about what's happening tomorrow.
Oh, my God. One day left. I don't know about you, but I can't contain myself.
I am in a cat-like state of readiness for football to commence, and I look forward to spending 20 hours on the couch watching games every week for the next 6 months.
Oh, my God. To any of my friends and family or acquaintances, I'm sorry, but the next 6 months is AFL is going to be my personality.
We are exiting hot gay boy summer and moving into football season and sweatpants.
Hot gay boy football season.
Yeah, I don't know if we can combine them. I think you ruined that.
Look, you know what? If we do well, if Essendon does as well this season, if we made it to the granny, I would wear my short shorts and my Essendon knee-high socks.
Yeah, but you can say that because it's not going to happen.
Oh, burn, David.
And you know, with the football, we are super excited. Kicking off with opening round tomorrow. I'm sure every person and their dog are going to be talking about how much opening round annoys them right now. I have cooled a little on the concept. Great concept, not necessarily well executed. But, you know, as we say, anything that's going to bring football to the non-Victorian states to promote it, I'm a big fan of. I just don't think starting the season with half the teams on a bye is a great way to do it.
Yeah.
So AFL, maybe rethink that one. Obviously, opening round is great, but maybe not the byes.
Sydney Carlton, who do you think's going
to
win?
Do you know what? I'm going to have to say Sydney. I just think on form. And Carlton have had some trade losses in the off-season. But do you know what? We were meant to mention this last week. It was remiss of me. I forgot because a story broke right before we went on air last week and I had it in my phone ready to go. So we're going to call back to it now. I'm going to call this the Nick Dacos rule, unofficially. This year, the voting umpires in the Brownlow are going to be given match stats.
Interesting.
So that's never happened before. They had to do it on the vibe. Like, I felt like they had a good game. It was subjective. It was entirely subjective. And a lot of people complained because it became the midfielders award, because every umpire sees the midfielders and their impact.
Yeah.
And they're going to get, I think, 17 key stats now so that the umpires can not just assess the vibe. I mean, I love the vibes. I judge everything on the vibes. But they can actually go, well, you know, this is on paper and maybe, and they're hoping it will become a more even playing field.
Yeah, let's make it a little bit more fair. I'll never forget Jezza Cameron at the Brownlow and him posting on his Insta live that, yeah, he got a couple of votes, but he won't win because he's a forward. let's give someone else a shot.
Yeah, let's give Dacos a chance to win one.
Yeah.
I kind of like giving Rupert $1 million on Survivor.
Oh, my God. Why would you bring that up?
Well, the difference is I like Nick Dacos.
Yeah,
bet. All right. Bet. And the other thing that we had, and we don't have much time to get into this, but the AFL are having to relook at some of these new rules.
Yeah, some of these new rules. There's been some very cheeky I look at it as playing smarter, not harder. The ruck rule with Brody Grundy.
Yeah, him challenging.
Intimidating. To bring him over to the line. I mean, yeah, hey, look, you know what? It's not against the rules.
To paraphrase the AFL, they kind of didn't see it going that way. I think it was said best by Jurassic Park, the original. Life finds a way.
Sure does.
But on that note, we're going to go to some messages and hit a song.
You're listening to Gay FL, a queer footy show with Brendan and Chris on Joy 94.9.
That's right. We're back here on Gay FL in the studio at Joy 94.9. And it was very remiss of me, that lovely soundbite of Dennis Kometi, I need to credit to Jax from Game On, the show at 6 o'clock tonight. She actually downloaded that and saved it into the system for us and let us use it. So thank you very much for doing that, Jax. If you're interested in sports other than AFL, do check that show because she's going to cover it far better than we will.
Yeah, thanks, Jax. And if you'd like to text us in, we'd love to hear from you. Questions, comments, thoughts. Who do you think's going to win tomorrow? What's going to happen? 0427 569 949. Now, something that happened over the weekend, you know, not a really big deal, I guess, but Mardi Gras. Happy Mardi Gras to everyone that went and everyone that celebrated.
And everyone that's still hungover on a Wednesday.
Everyone that's still hungover on a Wednesday.
Because if you're not hungover on a Wednesday, you didn't do Mardi Gras right.
God. Yeah. But I want to touch upon a few things. One thing that was really exciting to see from a sports perspective was Sydney Swans marching, and they've been marching for quite a long time. It's clearly it's something that's very important. I don't know exactly how many years they've been marching.
I think 2018 was their first.
They were marching, and you know, like we've obviously seen teams march at Midsummer, and we've seen teams march in different parades. But Sydney, they had some big gets, and you know, we saw Brodie Grundy. Brodie Grundy had some really lovely words to say. Matty Pavage was there, which was good, and you know, he looked pretty good. Shout out to Nick Davies. He was a former player. He was playing. He was marching as well. But Eddie Betts was in the crowd. Rainbow Swans were there as well. We saw their president, Serena Jackson, new recruit, Ashley Van Loon. It was just, it was actually really cool to see. Sydney just drew it right. And I'm still surprised in 2026 that Sydney Swans are the only team that does march. I thought GWS would be on the ball by now, but, you know.
I think Sydney put their money where their mouth is on inclusion. They do walk the walk on that. And I believe they're the only professional elite level sporting group that march. So I did want to shout that out. And we actually have extracted some audio from the Sydney Swans social media. So thank you, Sydney, for posting this so we could play it. And we're just going to play it now. And these are the quotes from those four people that we just named on their thoughts on the ground at the parade.
Loving it. It's an absolute vibe. It doesn't matter where you look. There's lots of colour, there's lots of energy, for my friends or my family in the pride community, or just, you know, we've got our Rainbow Swan supporters. I just think it's a really important opportunity to show up and just celebrate people being proud of who they are, and it's a cause that I can definitely support and throw my voice and my presence behind. I'm really loving it so far.
Incredible. The atmosphere and vibe is unbelievable, and I'm just so proud of our team. It's a wonderful opportunity to show up as a club and really support the Pride community as we have done for such a long period of time.
We've had the message for years through the Pride game and the DAT and Mardi Gras that everyone's welcome to the football, and this just shows that we are, right? Like, the Swans are the community leaders. They're the only professional sporting team that's ever marched in the parade. And we lead the way, and I mean, as the chair of Rainbow Swans, I'm so proud.
As an ally, it just shows that we support all of our players, we support all of our fans to be exactly who they are. It's a welcome environment. We want everyone to come along, be themselves, and it's just really nice where everyone can feel like they have a night, especially where they feel like they can be themselves. It's just really good.
That's right. So this is Gay FL with Brendan and Chris, and you're hearing from a couple of the Sydney team actually at Mardi Gras. So we heard from Brodie Grundy himself, CEO Matty Pavlich, Nick Davis was also there, Rainbow Swans chairman Serena Jackson, and also AFLW player Ashley Van Loon. So that was really cool to hear from him.
And I really love that Sydney acknowledged and Ashley commented on it about being there as an ally. We love our allies. We love our community, but our allies and our straight allies and our cis allies are equally important and valid at the parade.
Yeah, it was really good to see someone else who we might have recognized. We'll talk about a little bit.
We did spot a little face in the crowd, didn't we?
A little familiar face. Mitch Brown himself. He was marching, and he was also doing a bit of hosting.
And also his lovely partner, Lou. They both marched with Sydney.
Yeah. But I want to talk about the hosting. And I feel like, are we now, we used to be Kyle's gays, but now maybe we're Mitch Brown's gays.
I think there's enough of us to go around.
Yeah, very true. But Mitch was co-hosting there. Mon Conti, Courtney Act. I just want to say, I want to shout out to Mitch. What a great host he was. I mean, engaging, had a lot to say, was very complimentary, and he clearly had done his homework.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, speaking notes aside, he spoke so important. I actually was talking to Jax from Game On earlier about how amazing Mitch is as a representative of our community. Mm. He has embraced this role. The community has embraced him. And I feel like he does a remarkable job of bridging the gap between cis straight men in particular and our community, because he kind of straddles almost both spaces and is respected in both spaces, which is really rare.
Yeah, he actually released an open letter that he wrote to the AFL. If you haven't seen it, definitely go to his Instagram, and we shared it. It was a really poignant letter that he wrote, what he wanted to see from the AFL, especially the AFL, I guess, men's side in 2026.
Yeah,
it was a really good post.
And not just the AFL, but the clubs, the officials, the players, the fans, the media, we all have a role in this. And I count ourselves in that conversation, which I feel quite privileged to be part of. Mm. And my wish for the AFL, I think, resonates with what Mitch's wish for the AFL this year. So much headway was made last year in 2025 with the AFL deciding to enforce suspensions for homophobic acts, which they did successfully and doubled down on, which I'm very grateful for. And then obviously with that, you know, Mitch has alluded to the fact that that probably prompted his decision. Yeah. I want that conversation to keep going. There's so much work left to be done. And my wish for the season is that more people have this conversation, more players come out, more people speak publicly, and the conversation doesn't stop.
Yeah, exactly. I love that you touched upon the suspensions. There was just so many of them.
Wasn't there?
And I would actually shout out, we just got a text as well from one of our lovely listeners, Dom the Trucker. Lovely hearing from
Dom,
you.
Oh, Dom, we love you.
Disappointed boys. Go Bombers. Also going to be a sweatpants couch potato. Story of my life, Dom. He thinks Sydney's going to win. I agree.
And he also mentioned Jude Bolton's old team.
Ah.
Oh, Dom, don't ever change. It's great to have you with us as always. You mustn't be on the road tonight.
Thanks, Dom. Of course. Go Bombers.
Yeah, go Bombers
from
for sure.
One fellow Bomber fan to another.
And we have the week off this week being a Bombers fan. Let's actually talk about the Bombers for a moment. We don't play till next week.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with myself.
I mean, we can watch the games that are on, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose we should
probably talk about them on the show next week, maybe.
Yeah.
I think people might expect that.
Mm. It's going to be interesting versus Hawthorn. We'll see how we go. Oh my God. Did you see this morning? Angus Clark is, oh my God.
Oh, I know. Syndesmosis or whatever it says.
He's done something. And oh my God, Angus Clark.
Pop.
Oh my God. Can we share the anecdote that we had about him? I want to share.
Oh, my God. Please do.
Angus Clark is a sweetheart, and the very few interactions we've had with him, he's been lovely. He's a country boy, comes from Millicent in Adelaide. Red Dog has taken him under his wing. Really funny. Them two have such a good dynamic. If you haven't seen any of their videos on YouTube on the Essendon page, it's really funny. But last year, Chris and I happened to go to a VFL game, and it was Essendon versus, I think, what was it? Essendon Geelong?
It was at GMHBA.
I will never forget waiting in line, trying to get in, and Angus Clark had walked past in his trackies. He wasn't playing, trying to walk in, and he was like, I'm a player. Do I get a ticket to get in? And he went to get a ticket. And we're like, no, we'll get his ticket for him. Just let him in. It was sweet.
Yeah, he's a good lad. I think he might get recognized now. And speedy recovery, and we'll see you back soon. And we will also see you back soon, because we are going to go to that song I promised you in the last break, which is On a Night Like This by Kylie. Very fitting for Mardi Gras.
You're listening to Gay FL, a queer footy show with Chris and Brendan on Joy 94.9.
That's right. It's Brendan and Chris, and we're GayFL, a queer footy show. So some news, exciting news for some, and not so exciting news, I guess, for us Bombers supporters.
I'm a bit sad. Dom's sad.
Yeah, exactly. Dom, you want to just talk about Essendon, buddy? We're doing it. It was announced that the Pride game for 2026, last year it was Sydney versus Essendon. Anyone that doesn't know, it used to always be Sydney versus Saints. And as a Bombers fan, last year was our first annual Pride game versus Sydney. And it was exciting, especially in LGBTQ plus supporter. It was pretty cool, and I was proud to sort of be a part of it. But it's actually returning back to Sydney versus Saints this year, so it's going to be a blockbuster in round 13, I think it is. And Sydney Swans, obviously CEO Matty Pavlich, who we talked about before, he was at Mardi Gras marching, he happened to say that, you know, Pride game at the SCG, it's a significant match on our calendar, and it resonates deeply with the Rainbow Swans and our wider LGBTQI plus supporter base, and it's a reflection of their commitment to foster an inclusive and welcoming environment. So look, it's kind of bittersweet. I'm happy because I think Sydney and Saints do a lot. Like, let's be honest, Sydney do so much for it. Like the Guernseys, the socks.
Yeah.
It's a great
thing. I mean, I have one of the Saints Guernseys, yeah, the match worn ones from the first game.
Can't say I'm not a little bit sad that Essendon's not doing it, but we'll still watch.
I'm a little sad too. And we would just clarify, that is the AFLM, not to be confused with the Pride rounds with games in the W.
Oh, exactly. That, but we'd be praising that. Like, yeah. that was something. Chris, what's some of your news this week?
Well, the AFL is facing a major fixturing headache for the 2027 season. Now, I know the 2026 season starts tomorrow. We're not even there yet, but we're already talking about 2027. Now, Brendan, tell me, you may or may not have heard of this. It's a bit of a niche sport, and it's called cricket.
I thought you were going to say that they fixtured their games around an Ed Sheeran concert again or something.
No, not this time. There is a sport that is apparently well regarded in the world called cricket. I don't personally care for it, but I'm sure
I'm going to quote Mariah Carey. I don't know her.
I'm sure it's a wonderful sport. Regardless. So anyway, the MCC and Cricket Australia hold the rights to the fixture in the MCG stadium in March. And the AFL has gently been encroaching on this in the past few years with opening round and gather round pushing it forward. And cricket has been very obliging, bless them, to let the AFL do that. Not next year. So next year there is a 150th anniversary test between Australia and England, which is apparently a really big deal. Text in if you know anything about that. But so their fixture, they need 5-day test matches, I think, in crossing in March, over opening round and round one. So the AFL may have to push back the season or reschedule those opening games, have nothing at the MCG.
Can't they just find another stadium?
Another MCG?
Well, I guess it depends who's playing on the fixture. Like, they might not get a big crowd.
I mean, do you know what they could do? And this is controversial. Mm-hmm. This is not going to go down well. They could make Collingwood travel interstate. For one game.
I don't think that'll go down very
well. Not going to happen, is it?
No.
Okay.
No,
yeah, no. They can push all our teams over to Marvel. That would be fine. We do that anyway.
Look, we know they can't travel. So
yeah, no, they get upset if they have to travel to Marvel. So do Richmond. No, actually, no, Dimmer does. It wasn't Richmond, it was Dimmer.
Dimmer would be upset if they played a punt road. So, I guess speaking of other big news, there was a very interesting interview with Andrew Dillon talking about, you know, potentially including the AFL in the 2032 Olympic Games in Brisbane. Look, it was a bit clickbaity. He kind of said, you know, they've spoken about a higher level, and the reality is there's a precedent for it. It was back in 1956 in Melbourne where, it was an exhibition sport. And, you know, he thinks, you know, it is our most popular sport. It's the most viewed sport in Australia. It has such an audience. And, you know, there is the audience for it. So, I don't know, what do you think? Do you think we could play our much-beloved game on a global stadium like that?
I would love for this to become a reality. I don't know if this is clickbait, but I would love for this to be real. Mm. And one thing that when we're talking about precedent, let's not forget it is almost the right of the hosting country in almost every Summer Olympics to introduce a showcase sport for one games if they want to. Yeah. And, you know, this has been done really, really successfully in the past. I mean, just look at Paris and breakdancing. That went down a treat.
Oh, my God. Why would you do that? I just wonder, who are they going to pick? I mean, 2032, some of these players probably haven't even been born yet.
I know. They're probably still in diapers. Probably some of the current players' father-son picks.
maybe. Oh, my God. Maybe that's when Dacos will get his Brownlow.
Too soon.
No. We love him. But, what do you think? Do you think, you know, AFL could be an Olympic sport? Yeah.
And look, let's not forget, I know AFL is our sport. It's not really an international sport, but it is played in India, and it is played similar to Gaelic footy in international rules in Ireland. You know, it is played in small capacities. And the other thing is 2032 is a long time away. Mm. When these showcase sports get included in the Olympics, the reason they do it so early is so that other countries that wish to compete have a time to get a talent pool.
Yeah. I mean, our little game has a global audience, let's be real. And, you know, people all the time, you know, I'm always on Reddit every match thread watching, you know, I love reading the comments.
Yeah.
And there's so many people that are like, oh my God, how do I watch this? At what time do I watch this? LA time? Like, there is a global sort of market for this. So,
I do have one little issue with it though.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if we didn't win the gold?
Yeah, it would be a bit of a... We'd never do it again.
That would be so awkward.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time.
No. But we keep touching on Nick Dacos. You have another Nick Dacos story.
Oh, do I?
Yeah, you do.
I do too.
Actually, I have a Nick Dacos story. You can do it.
Dacos story. Yeah. Obviously, Dacos' representatives were talking about how, you know, I don't know if it's just management talk. Look what happened to Merritt last year. You don't know what happens with all this talk. But apparently, Dacos might be open to, maybe moving over to Tassie for the Tassie Devils.
Yeah, if this happened, if this ever happened, it would be one of the biggest coups in footy history. And I believe the term, and I'm going to misquote or paraphrase again, his management said it would be negligent of them to not consider. And Nick is apparently, according to media, open to it, which obviously he would be if his management team, they wouldn't do it without him consulting with him. I wouldn't rule this out.
Yeah, maybe it'll give Josh a chance to shine.
No, well, yes, but I mean, let's not forget there is precedent for this.
Yeah.
So if we just rewind about 10 years, when father son great, similar to Dacos, Gary Ablett Jr. Was playing for Geelong.
Yeah.
And I wasn't privy to those conversations, but the consensus was he wanted to make a name for himself that wasn't his dad's name. And the Dacos name is synonymous with Collingwood. Mm. So Gary Ablett went to, I think it was the Suns.
Yeah.
And he was there for their inaugural season. And he, you know, he didn't entertain a lot of success there, but he certainly got to play out some of his career.
Yeah. And I think as well, like, his reputation actually was improved. He got, you know, he was, instead of being just his father's son, he was Gary Ablett Jr.
He kind of, you know, again, made that name and kind of, you know, created his own identity in the game, which is a lasting legacy. And no disrespect to father-son picks by any stretch, but you can appreciate it's all, you know, wanting to make a name for yourself.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. So I wouldn't rule it out. However, there has been talk that Tassie's, while they are trying to lure some big names, is how are they going to get the infrastructure for the families to live there and to work there for the non-playing family members. And, you know, I think they're worried about, do people really want to move to the Apple Isle? I don't know. I hear it's lovely down there. I have family down there, but
I wonder if it's going to be like fly in, fly out. Like,
I don't think that would work with training.
Yeah, very true. Yeah.
You'd have to live on the island, I imagine. But, you know, that's a problem for another year and not a problem for us in particular.
Mm.
But there is a problem I would like to address. And this is a very brief problem. We were talking about Mardi Gras, and we all know Mardi Gras is a protest. And I have a beautiful protest song. It is a focus on race, but I think it's one we can all resonate. We are going to listen to Rhythm Nation, Rhythm Nation by Janet Jackson.
We are a nation with no geographic boundaries, bound together through our beliefs. We are like-minded individuals, sharing a common vision, pushing toward a world rid of color lines.
You're listening to GayFL, a queer footy show with Brendan and Chris on Joy 94.9.
That's right. This is Brendan and Chris, and that was Janet Jackson, Rhythm Nation. What a tune. That film clip, I think, is cemented in my young queer brain. Like, didn't we all try and do that, like, those dance moves?
Yeah, absolutely. All the boys when I was in school wanted to dance like Michael. I wanted to dance like Janet.
Oh, taste.
I forgot how much I loved that song.
Oh, such a good song.
Oh, what a tune.
And very political, especially for the time it came out.
Yeah, I don't think I appreciated as a little boy just how deep that song
was. You're like, wow, this is just a monochrome film clip.
No, it was an amazing film clip. Amazing artist, actually. So, yeah. You know, snaps to Janet.
Absolutely.
And thanks for joining us, as we always do here on GayFL. We have been talking about all kinds of preseason news tonight, and we actually just got a text from someone. So we always love when people text in and get part of the conversation. This text came in response to our Olympics conversation and was saying, AFL at the Olympics, cannot wait to see the people being confused by the rules and the
hairstyle. can you imagine explaining it to someone who's never seen the game? I think if we do, you know, if we're still, I don't know what you plan on doing, Chris, in 2032. But look, hey, maybe we can bring out the rule book and we'll do an episode reading out all the rules.
If our show has that much longevity, we will fly to Brisbane and watch it.
I plan on being retired by then.
Yeah, me too. But one segment we are not retiring, and we do every single week, including this week.
It's time to take a look at Stars Around. Miss the latest off-field antics and hijinks? We've got it covered for you.
I love Stars Around. This was one of your brainchilds, and I absolutely love all the weird and wacky stuff that goes on off the field in football. I honestly, half the time, I have more fun monitoring social media than watching the games, to be honest.
I love highlighting it because I think there's a lot of stuff. If you're not watching the games, if you're not watching Untucked, you're only watching half the story. Like, ooh, all the behind
topical.
Exactly. All the social stuff that goes on behind the scenes. Look, I find it amusing.
Does that make us like an Up Late with Big Brother kind of edition?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe. I think that might be copywritten. Oh. That's okay. We'll change it to GayFL. And tell us, what weird and wacky things have you found on the socials this week?
Well, mine are both Sydney related, and I'm gonna go with the funny one first.
We have never talked about Sydney as much as we have on the show.
Some very observant people noticed last week, Sydney actually have a young recruit, Max King, a young player. I haven't heard too much about him, to be quite honest. But people couldn't help but notice that they accidentally used St Kilda Max King's photo as his team photo. And can you imagine being a St Kilda fan and going into, like, seeing that and being like, this was not announced. It's almost like... it's almost like how it was announced that Stephen May, we haven't talked about Stephen May announcing his retirement. That was a huge one, and we didn't even talk about it. But the quote from Tom Morris was, he's announcing his retirement. He's going to be speaking, announcing it to his teammates tomorrow. I think he doesn't need to talk to his teammates about it tomorrow, Tom. I think he kind of announced it.
I think you just announced it for him, didn't he? Yeah, absolutely. But you know what I also thought about? I loved that Max King, because the photo obviously was him and his St Kilda girls. How that didn't get picked up.
How does that happen?
I feel like the intern got fired and some fan just wrote into the club and went,
she doesn't even go here.
And you have another Sydney one. It's Mardi Gras. Let's talk about Sydney.
Yeah. So there was a cute one that Sydney actually shared on their socials. It was a very cute, cheeky video of Chad Warner. And we love Chad Warner. We were fortunate enough to meet him last year at the footy.
He's
footy
so fest. Gorgeous. Such he's a little elf of a man. I absolutely adore him.
But a very cute video of him getting into his car, changing. He's going from his shorts into his business attire, and they couldn't help but caption it. When you have training in the AM and then a midday meeting in the city, it's kind of like, you know, when you've, what is it? Like, you've got work during the day and then you have to go out for...
They're going from day to night. I think we can all relate to that. I don't know about you, but I dress very differently at work than I do in a club.
And I just want to say he looked bloody cute in his business attire.
He looks bloody cute in anything, and he's a lovely person.
Yes,
he's one of the nicest I've ever met. Actually, I really have a soft spot for him.
Now, what about you? What are your stars around?
Well, your favorite thing to talk about tonight has been Sydney, and so you might be shocked and appalled to learn that I'm going to talk about two of my favorite things on Stars Around as well. And the first one, I don't. You might have noticed if you've been listening to the last few episodes, I love talking about player fashion.
Mm-hmm.
It just because I like clothes. I mean, I'm a gay man that likes clothes. You know,
groundbreaking.
Yeah. One of the lovely, lovely players, two of the lovely players, in fact, that I would like to bring up: Pat Lipinski, a young player from Collingwood, and Jeremy Howard. Not quite so young player. Players at different ends of their career and from different generations, you might say. Apparently, they've been reading Jeremy Howe for dressing like a dad, which, you know, we've met him. We've had drinks with him, like at an event. He does dress a bit like a dad, which is fine. He is a dad.
He was wearing a hoodie. You do as well.
I'm doing it right now. But Pat Lipinski got early to training, got Jeremy Howe to meet him and swapped clothes. And Jeremy Howe was walking around the club in Gen Z clothing, like, you know, baggy jeans. He looked amazing. Gosh. It was a great outfit. And the compliments he was getting from the other players, it was actually really, they knew that he was like a fish out of water. And Pat was such a good sport because Pat Lipinski put on Jeremy Howe's clothes and walked in and read himself about how horrible he looked. And it was a beautiful little video put out by the Collingwood Football Club, and I really quite enjoyed it.
I love that.
And there is another one, which is my other favorite thing to talk about. And are you going to guess what this is? But if there's one thing that I love talking about on the show,
Like to talk about Madeline Ashton.
Or in that case, I would like to talk about Toby Green.
Go ahead.
So Toby was quoted, I think it was in one of those Seven documentaries coming out recently, saying that, quote, "I won't get suspended again. I'm done." And he doubled down with, "I just had to get that last one out the way and now I'm done." Quote. That's Toby Green talking about his suspensions. You may be aware, if you've paid any attention to football in the last 5 years, that Toby Green is the most suspended and fined player in the AFL history.
Yeah. What were we telling? It was over 30,000 last year.
It's a lot. I don't remember.
Last time we counted, it was about 30,000.
Yeah. And he's kind of a magnet for it. And look, he does bring some of it on himself, but he kind of gets a bad guy tax because he did it a bit early in his career. And I think he's decided to take a little bit more of a grown-up approach and team-first approach this year. So, we'll see in opening round if he gets a fine. If he does, we are going to talk about it next week. And do you know what else? And we are going to talk about it. And I was talking about my favorite things to talk about. And I'm doing it to you again. This is the third time I've done it to you after I promised I wouldn't.
It's time to look at the unintentionally homoerotic commentary made by our friends in the media with
UHC.
I thought we weren't doing this until the season stopped, but the footy gods.
The footy gods, they do deliver. I flat out lied to you when I said we weren't going to do that. I'm just going to own up to that right now. I'd like to just call out, not in a bad way, I'd just like to shout out in a positive way, our friends at Triple M, who I don't know if they've been listening to us and listening to our UHC segment. I have a feeling they probably haven't been. But someone in marketing at Triple M gets the tick of approval, the UHC tick of approval.
Yeah.
They have posted two banner headlines this week in the last few days.
Yeah.
In bold text above a player photo. One was Jai Newcombe about his suspension, and it says, "Gets off at the tribunal." And there is no context. There is just a picture of Jai Newcombe, but that's not even the best one. My favorite one is a young player from Richmond who's taking a kick, and this guy is injured, which is, you know, sad, but they decided to announce his injury with "no coming for a month."
Oh my God.
So I guess Richmond is having no nut February.
I think somebody's been listening to us.
I think they have to. I just love that those were the headlines. And not only that someone came up with them, but someone went, do you know what's a good headline? We're going to use this, but it worked. You should see the clickbait and the shares that these things have got. I think it's not just us that like to giggle like 10-year-old boys at unintentionally homoerotic commentary in the football.
Clearly not.
I think we've tapped a niche market.
Mm-hmm. Well, you heard it here first.
Speaking of niche markets, Brendan, do you want to remind everyone about our tipping contest?
Yeah, we have our GFL tipping competition that we're advertising in all our socials. We'll send it out, but please feel free to join. It's just a bunch of fun, just a bunch of community. It's going to be a good time. There's no prizes apart from bragging rights.
Yeah, and get involved. It's a closed competition. You can use an alias if you want to. It's linked through the AFL app. So if you're already tipping on the AFL app, you just have to enter the code and your tips go into this. You don't even have to fill it in twice. We would love to have you there. It is just for lols, a bit for the plot. Get involved. And also, if you are free of it, if you have a spare hour in the next few days, do tune into the Joy socials and the Joy podcast page for Wellness Wednesday and Talk Therapy to Me, our show that we were on earlier today, where they were kind enough to have us on for an hour to talk about work burnout. It's a very different take for us. It's not quite as light as what we've been talking about tonight, but a really serious and important conversation. And they are therapists. They did it very well.
Yeah, it's a very important subject. And I think it was good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this show was good. I think we should probably wrap the show. We should probably get home. We all have work in the morning. I've been here since 6 o'clock. My pleasure. It was lovely being here and it was lovely having you with us, as it always is. Enjoy the football this week. Opening round, kicking off tomorrow. We will be back 9 o'clock Wednesday next week on Joy 94.9 to tell you all the ins and outs from opening round, unless something more exciting happens in the meantime. And we are going to leave you with a song that my mum absolutely hates because I played her the video clip. Mum, this one's for you. It's Mother's Daughter by Miley Cyrus.
Thanks for listening to Gay AFL with Brendan and Chris.
For more queer footy content, find us on all your favourite podcast platforms at Gay AFL, a queer footy show.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.